Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Reiki authors Bronwyn and Fran Steiner, founders of the International House of Reiki. Find out more at www.reiki.net.au. Hi, my name's Bronwyn.
And I'm Franz.
And today we have with us Siobhan McLeod. And Siobhan is an Australian artist. And she's also studied a number of things to get her to the point of becoming a professional artist. I think something that's relevant to what we're talking about today, which will be Reiki and creativity, is that she also has a diploma in health science, focusing on massage, and she's obviously studied Reiki as well. Siobhan first completed a degree in writing and journalism at university, and she's since received an honours degree in art and has almost completed her master's in journalism. So she's got a lot of study behind her, but also practically she's worked with a number of different things apart from just words, using collage, mixed media, glass beads, fabric, all sorts of materials, and she creates amazing journals. These are visual journals. Yes, hi Siobhan.
Hello, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well.
What an introduction, wow.
And it's all true.
Yeah, I just don't think about it a lot of the time. This is lovely.
Good. Well, we'd like to talk to you today about the link between Reiki and creativity.
Okay.
And as you work as a professional artist and have done for a number of years before you actually studied Reiki, we thought it would be really fascinating to find out what changes you felt occurred to your creative work at that point.
Well, let me think. As you said, I'd been doing journals for quite a few years, and that was a form of therapy for me because at university, a lot of the things you submit, you have to be marked on them. So there's a lot of pressure to be creative all the time. And, I mean, for anybody who's been an artist or a writer, you experience a creative block, which can be very distressing. And a lot of the time when you're doing work for other people, you don't always feel like you're displaying something of yourself. You're doing more what's being expected of you, and that can be quite hard as well. So when I got to do the Reiki, I'd also had a baby, and I'd spent a lot of time at home thinking about, you know, everything I had done and where I might go with it. And Reiki was something that I had studied years ago, but I wanted to start all over again, and I studied with you guys. And after Reiki 1, I came home feeling like I had a process that I could use to just clear my head and see where it all led me. And I went back to my journals, and rather than writing, which I'd been used to, I started looking at things and pulling out pieces from magazines or bits of fabric, as you were saying, all those different mediums, and just started laying it down. And what emerged was a very eclectic, very rich kind of tapestry, if you will, of things that excited me or inspired me. And I think just because I was going through the Reiki exercises in the morning and in the evening, I was calming myself down enough to allow all the new things to come through. And yeah, so then I started doing these visual journals that, I know I've got about five of them now. And from there, I just went on to keep making all the jewellery and fabric arts. So I work with fabrics and materials and threads, and I have a great sort of sewing and embroidery machine that I play with as well. So as I kept doing the Reiki practice, I found that as a byproduct, there were so many things that I was becoming interested in as well. So I think one of the things to expect if you're going to work with Reiki with a focus on your creativity is that you might be bombarded quite early with ideas, and just to go with the flow, don't disregard them. This is where having a journal is very good, because you can just start writing lists and that gives your ideas somewhere to go. And then I think they fall into place. There becomes a bit of a path opening up to you, and yeah, that's sort of what's happened now. So I've been setting up my studio so that at any given point in time, whatever I feel like doing, I can just reach for it and start playing, because it really is a form of sacred play, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't realise that you actually hadn't started the visual journals prior to doing the Reiki course. So you were inspired to begin that from doing the Reiki.
Yeah, definitely. I had done a bit of visual journaling, but it hadn't been a focus. I'd sort of stuck photos in or you know, other things that I liked. But after doing the Reiki, it was more pictures that were more important to me than words. I couldn't get the words out. I felt like I'd spent, you know, 10 years working with words, and that was just getting me down a bit. So, yeah, the Reiki just made me see more in, you know, images and colours and that sort of thing, I think.
The images that you're talking about, these visual journals, I think it's a little hard for listeners to understand what they are.
Okay.
What I will do is include a link on the webpage for the podcast that will actually show people, you know, all your images where they can go to actually see them, because they are absolutely stunning. It's quite an unusual thing. You know, when we think of journaling, we don't think of it in those terms, and it can be so beautiful to look at and experience.
It comes in waves as well. Like, when you look at them, to begin with, I might just find a colour that suits me on that particular day. I just, you know, magenta, I love magenta, and I'm a big fan of using watercolours as a base. So I'll open my page, and because I have journals in different sizes too, it might be something I want to cover only a small amount of space, or if I have more time, you know, I'll do something larger. But I do a wash of the watercolours, and then I might find the images that I'm talking about, so in magazines or whatever, and cut them or rip them out and put a bit of collage work down. And then because you're using watercolours, you can use anything over the top. So I might paint or stamp, because I'm a big fan of stamping, whether you make your own stamps or otherwise. It's not hard to cut a potato and carve out an image. And so stamping, and then textures or crayons or glitter glue. I'm a huge fan of glitter glue. I know that sounds quite tacky, but it's fabulous stuff. And then gel pens, because gel pens you can write over the top of most things. And this process might take a few days, depending on what I'm feeling at the time, but I also find it's a good place to put down inspirational quotes, or I did a lot of work just practicing the precepts, actually, which was a lot of fun. So as I was meditating on them, I would just be writing them in with different sort of pens or whatever, what have you. And incidentally, another thing I was doing was actually writing them in chalk in the courtyard. So I could sit on the back step with my cup of chai in the morning and look at them. Yeah, it was quite nice doing that sort of thing. But as a Reiki journal, I found that it was really exciting to suddenly see that my creativity became more true to the artwork that I like, rather than doing what I had done before or what I thought wasn't something that other people had done, because I'm always quite conscious of that. You want to do something that's unique, and how can I speak from the heart? And so the Reiki journals, yeah, really started to grow and get more detailed. But yeah, have a look at the pictures and have a look at what we're talking about.
What interests me a lot about the journals is that layering. That seems to indicate more depth and a way of expressing that depth. And I'm wondering if perhaps you feel that by practicing the Reiki, that might reflect that.
Definitely. Absolutely. The first night I came home after the Reiki 2 course, all I wanted to do was paint my hands in different colours and just print them on the paper like you would as a little kid, and that's what my daughter does all the time. So I think she might have seen me this particular night. I just wanted to do these handprints. And then I tried painting them gold and handprinting over the top of the handprints that I did before. And then based on what had happened to me in that course, when Franz was saying, ask for what you need or what you want to focus on, I had things like clarity and wisdom, intuition, focus, that sort of thing. And so I just wrote the words all around the outside of the hands and then added the detail around that. But it became a good indicator of what was happening as I was practicing the Reiki for myself, you know, in the weeks that followed. And it's just really exciting to me. And I thought, oh, you know, maybe this is something that other people can try, because I've been doing your 21-day practice as well, the online one that says to keep a journal. And I found rather than just writing the exercises, actually, you know, playing with other mediums to do it as well. Yeah, the layering is definitely really exciting to work with, because things don't always become obvious when you're writing because you're worried that other people are going to read it, or you don't have the words, or you don't feel like you're not confident in you know, having a voice yourself. But the visual stuff, you can hide things.
Yeah.
Like, I've written entire, you know, pages that, you know, it's there in the background, but you can't actually read it when you immediately look at it. You're quite distracted by something else. And so, you know, if you wanted to, you could probably make it out, but I don't think anyone would really bother. They're too busy looking at the pretty stuff. But for me, I know it's still there and it still meant something, and I can go back and refer to it later if I want to. You can play. It's lovely.
It's nice that you do the integration between Reiki and your creative side, because a lot of people, I think, see Reiki as an external practice, as a hands-on healing practice, but really internalizing the system of Reiki and with that really integrating it with what you do in your daily life, I think it's a beautiful way of looking at it.
Yeah, I actually feel more comfortable working with Reiki in this way than I do working with other people yet. I had done massage therapy and I'd worked in respite care and in clinics and that sort of thing, so I'm quite used to working with other people. But I found this a lot more, it was so personal and so potent as well, that I needed to contain it for a while before I shared that with other people. I needed to learn what it meant for myself. This kind of colour and potency, the creativity side of it was definitely stronger than anything else, you know. I'm quite happy to work with other people using Reiki, but the meditations and the mantras, working with them, even if, you know, all you can do is sort of do them in the shower or something like that, just the ability to clear your head and allow for something else to come through without any judgment. Because I think we tend to sabotage ourselves. As soon as we get an idea or a creative idea that we want to run with, there's so many reasons people find to not do it. And I think it's the same if they wanted to practice Reiki or some other form of discipline. To do little things, little projects, and complete them, and you know, do your daily exercises and complete them, and building it up that way, like I would be building up the journals, it builds your confidence as well. So once you've done that, and you can, I finished one journal and went, wow, that's amazing. That didn't take that long at all, really. And I was just doing it as I felt like it, but I made a commitment to myself to just keep them with me and do something pretty much every day. And suddenly turned around and went, look how far we've come, and look what else has happened in my life. And I was talking to other people. Like, I love writing to other people. If I'm on the internet looking at other people's artwork or some other person who's pursued a creative dream and made it real, I'm really inspired by that. If I went back to doing journalism, that's very much what I would like to be covering. So I would find these people and type them an email and just let them know the effect that it had on me. And suddenly I was getting these emails back from people saying, I really appreciate that, or thank you for letting me know, because I don't normally find out the effect my work has on other people. So, you know, little things like just wanting to do that or talking to people about their creativity and their spirituality, I think became, you know, quite moving, actually, and other people appreciated it. So I think if people get into a habit of doing that with others, I think, you know, builds nice relationships with people all over the world. That's the brilliance of the internet. You can find so many things so quickly. And even though you have a relative autonomy there and a certain freedom, you know, you can still build quite close relationships just through ideas and sharing your practices with other people. It's really nice.
I think so too, that often we think within Reiki, for example, that we need to do hands-on healing to help people, but by, for example, going like yourself into your own quiet space and then creating an artwork, that artwork is being watched and looked at by many different people who then feel that healing quality. So you take a whole different route of accessing that healing power within yourself and actually sharing it through a different medium with people who then can feel that kickstart of healing within themselves because they feel that connection with your artwork or they see your own journey in that artwork.
Absolutely. And I'd love to think that that's what people do. Drawing mandalas is another thing that I've practiced in the past. And, you know, that works with the archetype of the circle. And all cultures from all around the world and all ages have gone back to, you know, using the circle, whether it's, you know, the Buddhist mandalas or the American Indian mandalas. Even when you look at little children, when they first start to draw themselves, the first thing they do is like a smiley face with, you know, little sticks for arms and legs. And that in itself is a form of mandala. And I think when I was doing the Reiki and starting to draw these mandalas, I'm quite interested in the Mendi designs, you know, the Indian Mendi designs. And I was starting to draw them and just having the energy there to sit with it and focus on it like a meditative practice. It was amazing the things that were starting to grow out. And if you draw the circle, just put a point in the middle and work your way out. It sort of does something to your subconscious and you can go away later on feeling quite like something's being revealed, something of yourself that you didn't even know was there, and all you're doing is putting a pen on a piece of paper, you know. So definitely what you're saying, you'd be sharing your spiritual journey with other people, and whether they like it or not, I mean, it's nice to think that they do, but even if they don't, it's had an effect on you nonetheless. And that's where keeping the journals is good, because they're all contained. You might not have the space to stick them all over the walls and everything, but if you keep a nice A3 size journal, you can create quite large works on that and then, you know, share it if you want to, but otherwise it's, you just sits on the bookshelf ready until someone else comes along and finds it.
The idea of taking a piece of paper and you know, putting a point in the middle is actually a really good idea for people to help them to start somewhere. Do you, you know, if they're wishing to bring out their inner creativity, do you have any other ideas for Reiki practitioners, how they can work with Reiki and develop their creativity?
Sure. I think the best thing to do if you don't feel comfortable in just jumping in the deep end, start with what you know. So sit down, write a list of the things that make you comfortable or that make you happy in your everyday life. It might be just looking at a particular image or photo or you know, a plant or certain flowers or whatever, and find a little space to make a creativity altar, which is quite nice. You know, it might be a table or a shelf or something like that, and lay things out where you can see them, but with the intent that, well, this is my space. This is where I'm going to explore the things that make me happy and see what comes off it. Because there's a certain kind of serendipity when you do this sort of thing, that whatever you focus on, you will notice it, or it will come to you. Other things that are similar will be drawn back to you. So you might have your little altar there that you look at every day, but if you're doing your Reiki practice as well, you might make it in that place that you choose to focus on it. So you might have your precepts, or, you know, if you're learning your symbols or something like that, you can include it. So a little Reiki altar is nice, and just every time you look at it, you're reminded. Or grab a bucket of chalk from one of those $2 shops. Get a bucket of chalk, and if you have a carport or, you know, in your garage or somewhere that doesn't mind getting a bit of chalk that you can wash off with a bucket of water, is fine, you know, in your courtyard. And even start just drawing a mandala in the courtyard, or just drawing anything, words of inspiration, because having it quite big and using your whole body to do it means that you're really helping to get the energy flowing. And then when you sit down for a cup of tea or whatever it is, you can just look at what you've done and it will shift something. You know, it's like, well, I've done that, I can try something else. It might be in the way that you cook. If you like cooking, if you make a cake, instead of just icing the cake, you might go out and buy a bag of mixed lollies or something and put the, you know, arrange them in a little mandala on the top. I've been known to do that before, just for something to do.
A mandala cake.
A mandala cake. Could be fruit, doesn't have to be lollies.
That's a great business concept, you know that.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, I could work with that. That could be fun. Or even cards, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people who make cards but go out and buy all the equipment, and that's fine if you want to do that. But I think it's fun to make cards just out of, you know, collaging bits of old magazines. Or, you know, a lot of people spend money on their advertising and they stick it in your letterbox. There's some great pictures that you can get out of catalogs and brochures, so you don't even need to go and buy a magazine. Just get work with whatever you've got. And like I said, if you're paying attention to certain things that interest you, these images will be mirrored back. They will somehow come back, whether it's an article you read in the newspaper or, you know, a picture that somebody sends you in a postcard. For some reason, these things just start to gather back and you can utilise them. Definitely. I have complete faith in that. It just seems to happen. Yeah.
Well, though all those ideas were extremely inspiring and I think will reach a wide range of people's creative abilities. So thank you very much, Siobhan.
It's been a pleasure. Okay.
Thank you.